Hello, my name is Jo Patterson and I am the Mission and Discipleship Officer for Southern Synod. Welcome to this morning's worship, whenever and wherever you are joining with us. Today is the 16th of November and it is Safeguarding Sunday. We will hear scripture, pray together, and sing hymns which remind us of our discipleship and our safeguarding journeys. They are actually not very far apart.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has remembered his mercy and faithfulness, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out together before the Lord. Sound praises to the Lord, all the earth. Break into singing and make music.
Hallelujah, King Eternal, be Loving God, you are our protector, our guide and our saviour. We meet this morning to praise all that you have done for us, the wonders that you give us in our world and in our lives. We turn to you in times of joy and in times of sadness, knowing that you will always be there to walk with us. We come as your humble children, wanting to know you better and let you fully into our lives. We think of those who have faith in the most difficult circumstances, who show you their love when it is not easy. We are truly grateful for your presence in our lives and come together in the unity of the body of Christ to worship, to praise your name, however we come to you today. Open our hearts to see your will and let your spirit be active in us today and always. Amen.
Merciful God, you are our protector, our guide, and our saviour. We bring you our apologies, our wrongdoings, our short tempers, our untruths, and our difficulties. We are human and we get things wrong, at home, at work, in church, at school, with family, friends and neighbours. We do not look after our planet or ourselves as you would like. Knowing that we do not always do the right thing is difficult, but knowing that you are there for us can help. Show us the best way. Accept our remorse, as we know that you will forgive us. You will show us your love, and we will be able to move forward. Teach us new ways of being your children in this world, and let us speak of you, knowing we are loved by your unconditional grace and mercy. Amen.
O God, your heart is full of mercy. May we hear and trust your words to each of us. Your sins are forgiven. May we forgive each other and forgive ourselves. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Loving God, give us faith to receive your living word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy, they're busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good.
Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life."
Many years ago, I worked in adult social care with adults with learning difficulties, some with complex mental health concerns and challenging behaviour. Safeguarding, as we talk about it now, didn't really exist, although we did care plans and risk assessments all the time. It wasn't an unsafe place to live and work, and we worked with other agencies to ensure our clients lived healthy and fulfilled lives in the community. The essential elements that made this work were the commitment of the staff team, support from assessment and intervention teams and social workers, and also friends and family. It was a challenging time and a challenging role, and there was a lot of change in the social care world. But what made it work was a multidisciplinary approach, that we were all in it together to protect people from harm, and really to protect each other in what could at times be a challenging environment to work in. In our first reading today from Paul's second letter to the people of Thessalonica, Paul writes to encourage new Christians and to reaffirm that the Lord will return. Paul wants them to continue their practice, that practice their faith, and he reminds them of the good things that he has taught them, but also reminds them the new ways Jesus taught everyone. At first glance, our passage appears to be reprimanding the idle, those who do not work or contribute to the community. Reading in verse 11, they are not busy, they are busybodies. I love the idea of people being called busybodies in the Bible. I'm sure that other translations will call them other things. It feels harsh. If you don't work, then you don't eat. This has been used as a passage to criticize those who maybe claim benefits or are unable to work or are unemployed, or to promote what was called the Christian work ethic. But this is too simplistic. Paul is really asking that the Thessalonians follow the teachings of Christ. This is a passage about being a believer, a disciple in Jesus Christ, not just about how much we work. Jesus has taught us to address the power balances in society and is saying it would be beneficial for everyone to have equal contribution to the community. But this is not just about money and feeding each other. The message here is it is also about faith. For Paul, encouraging faithful followers of Jesus involves living according to the teachings of Jesus, looking after one another. Not just rely on others for your food and well-being, we all have a part to play in the new Christian communities. There is a mutuality about this. If we take the resources for those who do not need them, there is less for those who do. And who knows, when our individual fortunes might change, and we need to be the ones to be helped, and then there is nothing left because we took it when we didn't really need it, and we hadn't contributed when we were able. But there is also realism in the passage, that this is not easy, because it involves change, and no doubt that this new life does not come easily. But there are rewards in a life with Christ which are coming. And I would also argue, in everyday things there are rewards, like the smallest gesture, but also the peace and the love of God. Paul understands the humanity of the people he is speaking to, gives them a warning so that they may improve rather than be shamed. He knows how to get the best out of people, and shaming them won't make it better. And here then is my favourite bit. In verse 13, never tire of doing good. There are good things here for our discipleship journeys, and hopefully help to keep the new worshipping community there back on track. But we do not live our Christian lives in isolation. These are all good things to help us with a concern like safeguarding. For example, back to my favourite bit, never tire of doing good. Safeguarding is a good thing. It sometimes seems overly busy and officious and a burden, but it helps us look after each other. But we must keep on top of it. We must keep learning and looking out for each other. If we are all vigilant and remind those who don't take it so seriously, or sometimes people who feel offended by new things like safer recruitment or DBS checks, fewer serious incidents will happen. If we close the gaps in our church processes, like the DBS checks and our training, and following good practice, we also put potential offenders off. We look like we're taking it seriously and can manage our churches in a better way. Keep learning and teaching each other. That's what Paul is saying here. Safeguarding is not for the few. We all need to get involved, to be aware of what others might need, and to build trust in our churches. And don't forget our church groups and also how we practice this outside, in work, maybe at school, maybe in our hobbies. Safeguarding is for everyone, everywhere. We should be spreading the word about that good practice in all of our contexts. In our gospel reading from Luke, we are in the final week of Jesus' life, Tuesday, and it is the temple. Jesus is teaching new ways of being in the world. Before this passage, there have been parables about money, marriage, power, and always coming back to the focus on God. This is not really what powerful people of the time want to teach. Jesus is challenging anyone and everyone. With such an abundance of teaching, it feels to me there is an urgency in that tone. That Jesus wants the disciples to learn and listen. Time is running out. This is also about discipleship and what it truly takes to follow Jesus, but to follow Jesus in the new way. Here is a turning upside down of what is the current social expectation. God has a different plan from gems of the temple and the beauty of the building. Don't be deceived by others. Stay true to what I am teaching you. Again, this is not without difficulty. Here Jesus tells of wars and famine, awful events. He warns you will be persecuted for belief in me. But stay strong. I will give you what you need. From verse 17, everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. And that last bit I think is worth saying again. Stand firm and you will win life. The kingdom of God opposes the current domination system, and if they and we stay strong, God's will prevails. This was a time where might was right. The Messiah was expected to be a great warrior, not a peaceful man teaching compassion and non-violent resistance. This is a message for us today. Remain calm, but oppose the wrongs we see in the world. Those wrongs are human ways and not God's ways. This is a teaching about keeping hope at our center rather than giving up. In the reality of our difficult lives, Jesus is our hope and the way. And we see so many things that resonate with our safeguarding. There are difficulties in all areas of our lives. Our churches are not exceptional in the context of safeguarding. If we are vigilant and live with safeguarding every day, we can counteract the naysayers. And those naysayers include those who think safeguarding is not for them, too burdensome, or a kerfuffle. Sometimes that is about being offended at being asked to justify yourself when you may have been volunteering for 50 years. I can see that that is difficult and a delicate conversation needs to be had. Safeguarding is about all of us. Please don't take it personally. But we do all have a role to play, even if that role is just by leading by example. There is also some good practice here. The disciples may think one thing is happening, that the kingdom will be easy, or that Jesus will somehow protect them. But Jesus clearly says, it will be another way. It will be easy to go down the wrong path. So for us, on first glance, we don't always know what is best. So get trained. Train people in your church. And if it feels overwhelming or you don't know what to do, go seek advice from those with expertise. We do not need to fix everything, but we do need to look after one another properly. But face your persecution without violence, says Jesus. Find other ways of facing it. Don't fight fire with fire. Good advice, I think, and clearly a good practice. Safeguarding is non-violent resistance to the problems that surround us. rarely individuals, but sometimes, but also good for the vulnerable people in our communities. If we stand firm in our belief that safeguarding is everyone's responsibility in all contexts, everything is smoother, but also normalises our safer space in the world through conversations and actions that protect everyone. If we walk the kingdom with a mutual understanding that safeguarding is for all of us to participate, to implement, and to discuss in our churches every day, who knows how much safer we will all feel. Amen.
All holy God, who gives us life and love, grace and mercy, and is glorified by all the earth,
we believe and trust in you.
All holy Son, who came to be with us and live like us, to show us new ways to challenge and to love the unloved,
we believe and trust in you.
All holy Spirit, who remains in and around us, helping us to love and serve, to tell the stories of hope and to fight for justice,
we believe and trust in you. This is our faith, the faith of the Church, our faith in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Let us bring our hearts and minds to God. Let us pray. Sisters and brothers in Christ, God invites us to bring our doubts and fears, our joys and concerns, our petitions and praise, and offer them for the earth and all its creatures. God of all creation, you are our holy and most wondrous God, who made this wonderful earth. We thank you for this world and all who live, work, and play within it. We bring to you our concerns for those in other nations. It is difficult to hear about the division present in our world, the places of famine and illness, drought and floods, the places of conflict and war, the people who must leave their home nations, the refugee and asylum communities. We ask for your love and grace to guide those who are making difficult decisions and to surround those innocent people caught up in these conflicts named to you today. We offer them to you and any other international conflicts known particularly to us. God of grace and mercy, we thank you for those who give their lives to service in this country, politicians, government workers, servicemen and women, in armed services and domestic services. We are forever thankful for their work to serve and protect us. We offer them to you. We lift to you those in medical services, especially those who have to make difficult and life-changing decisions. Give those in power your guidance that they may lead well, guide us in our national concerns, and receive your wisdom. We feel divided, especially in the face of racism, gender issues, disability, sexuality, privilege, mental health, and other social injustices, and in the hate that sometimes fuels those debates. Hate is such a negative state to live in. Let us not be tempted to use bitterness and frustration to hit out at others. Bring peace and calm to those who live in a state of hatred. Let us live in unity as you would wish. God of love and compassion, we look to you for guidance and love, as we know you will always love us. We pray for our local community and our church. We offer what we can to our local communities in the face of crime, poverty, and injustice. Be with our faith leaders, local government representatives, and community leaders as they try to tackle the issues of need in our area. They are trying to do your work, and sometimes this is fraught with difficulty and opposition. Let us ask those who live here what they want and work alongside them. Guide and support them so they can flourish and enable the community to come together in unity and peace. God of healing, we come to others we know who are suffering in poverty, with money concerns, unemployment, grief, illness, or loneliness. We hold them to you. Show them your compassion and teach us to do the same. We especially pray for those who have asked for the prayers of our churches. We lift to you those who have passed. May they rest in peace and rise in glory. And for those who mourn, may they find comfort in their grief. God of thankfulness and grace. And finally, we offer you ourselves. We do our best, but we are human and have our human concerns. In a moment of quiet, we bring to you our private concerns that only you can see in our hearts.
Merciful God, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Creator God, receive our gifts, those given today, those given at other times, those of money, time, and talent. We are truly thankful for all that you have freely given to us for the work of your kingdom. Amen.
And we end with a blessing. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Go now in faith to love, to serve, and to speak of all that God has done for us. The blessing of God be upon us, the God who loves us, Christ who shows us the way, the Spirit who makes us holy, today and always. Amen.